Please be seated. Court is ready to hear argument in 050476, Thomas Eugene Norris Sr. and Karen Lynn Norris versus Johnny W. Thomas Trustee.
May it please the court, Mr. Melvin Blumberg presents an argument for Thomas. Thomas, I reserve 0 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the court, there is no Texas case directly on point stating that a boat can be claimed as a homestead. But there is every reason to believe that the Texas courts should accord the same protection to a boat used as a residence as to any other personal property used as a residence.
There are some states that make that very clear, right?
That's correct.
Florida and Texas doesn't.
That's correct.
And so why should we go your way and rather than defer to the legislature if they want to make that yachts a homestead, then they can.
The legislature has specifically in the Texas Administrative Code, in the TNF program, it says the homestead and surrounding real property, any structure including a houseboat or a motorhome that the household uses as a residence is excluded as long as it's being used as a residence.
But that's, Mr. Thomas says this is only a definition of resources. It doesn't really define what a homestead is.
But it's still apparently authorized by the Texas legislature. It's our contention this is an extension of the legislature intent.
But by the same token, the Texas tax code excludes, doesn't say anything about houseboats. It just talks about motorhomes.
It doesn't exclude it, and it doesn't include it. For example, you can have a missile silo that was refurbished or redecorated into a home. And it can later, that missile silo could be considered a homestead.
It's fixed to the land, though, the silo.
Yes, that would be fixed to the land. In our case, the yacht has always been docked. It was docked originally in Port Aransas and lately in Corpus Christi, Texas, at a marina at a dock. The yacht physically attaches touches the dock, which, of course, the dock goes down into the ground. So if you want to say it's touching the ground, there's an umbilical cord coming from the dock that carries water, electricity, sewage, and telephone directly into the house.
I'm confused a bit on mobile homes.
Yes.
We've never spoken as to mobile homes constituting homesteads. I understand the courts of appeals, or one court of appeals, has determined that mobile homes do qualify as homesteads.
That's our understanding, yes.
Are there any courts of appeals that have held they're not?
Not to my knowledge. I think in some limited cases, recreational vehicles has been held as homesteads.
Of course, in Texas?
Yes, in Texas. However, they're again attached to the land.
Doesn't that mobile home statute indicate the wheels have to be removed from the home?
There's one case that says that it has to be
so that the home is affixed and can't roll off as a,
yes.
Perhaps a yacht can sail off. Isn't that a significant difference?
Not really. You could have a mobile home put on a barge and put in the water. And the fact that it's on the barge and in the water, it does not lose its homestead exemption.
Well, not necessarily, because the case that does hold mobile homes to qualify for homestead says it's the attachment to realty that gives the personal property its homestead character. So if you took it and put it on a barge, you would lose that attachment to realty upon which the opinion is based.
Our answer to that is the 1986 a case, Quayler versus James, in which it was held that a homestead cannot embrace, it was contended that the homestead could not embrace personal property. The exemption was in terms of lots or acres or land, but the object was to secure a family home. The house is necessarily embraced in the word homestead. If a head of a family owns a house and no interest or estate in the land or which it stands, the house is a chattel. In that case, the house was held as a chattel. And the homestead exemption, the court said he could move the house from parcel to parcel, and it would still be a homestead.
But Capital Aggregates interpreted that to be it's the attachment to the land, and not necessarily who owns the land that makes it the homestead.
Well, of course, it's our contention that it does not have to be physically attached to the land, specifically because of the mobile home provision. It's our contention, again, not to be redundant, that it is by being having this umbilical cord with all these utility services, which also comply with the urban, with the definition of the urban, what you have to have three out of five or six items, water, electricity, and phone and sewer services, that yacht touching that dock gives it enough of within the land provision to designate it as a homestead. Florida, Arizona, and there's an identical case of this, which we used in the bankruptcy court before Judge Clark, which specifically held that the yacht was a homestead.
But their constitution didn't have the land and acreage language that ours did.
I don't recall the case, but I did cite it during the hearing.
Let me ask you,
yes.
The difference between a travel trailer and a mobile home, a double wide, one's a lot easier to move than the other. One's intended for travel, one's intended for semi-permanent residence.
Yes.
Isn't there also the same difference between a houseboat and a yacht? Yacht, after all, is considered houseboat. If you're tied up on Lake Washington in Seattle, people live there permanently. But yachts are not normally bought so one can leave them tied up to the wharf. They're normally bought so you can sail them around.
Again, it's a matter of rich people have living in yachts and poor people living in houseboats. But
well,
still,
of course, Congress, federal courts are not wild about states like Texas that tend to give rich debtors a way to avoid their creditors, and have been cracking down on that. Isn't this what you're arguing for?
You would be correct if in our pleadings we show that Mr. Norris did from time to time take cruises. He went to various other places, but since he sold his restaurant, he for whatever reason his parents were sick, his wife's parents were sick. They stayed in that yacht and lived on it for a period of years, and they contend that is their homestead. It's not any different than a mobile home or a house or anything else. It was in a marina, and while it was in the marina, that was their homestead, and to not grant them the homestead exemption is potentially a discriminatory practice.
Is there any limitation on the exemption you're seeking? Could a boat of any value, any size, be shielded from
creditors? I guess it could be a tent or a rowboat or a yacht. I don't think that you can. Unless the legislation would choose to, what we're presently looking at, there would be any distinction.
How is this a discriminatory? How could this be a discriminatory practice?
Because everybody else gets an exemption. You have a house that's attached to land, you get the exemption.
But everybody else doesn't get to use a yacht as a homestead, so the law is applied equally. There's no separate law for people that live on homes and people
yes,
who live elsewhere.
But specifically as to whether it's a homestead or not, presently, a yacht is not considered a homestead presently in Texas. And it's Mr. Norris's contention that he lived in that house. It was within the tenor of the law. They looked to the very reason of having a homestead and for that homestead to be exempt, that was his home and therefore it's exempt.
Does the Constitution set a floor, or does it provide the exclusive means of protecting a homestead, or of deciding what is a protectable homestead?
There's no guidelines. It just says 10 acres, whether it's urban or whether it's rural. 10 acres for an urban, 200 acres for rural.
Well, let me rephrase the question. can the legislature provide for homestead protection that goes beyond what the Constitution provides? Neither brief addressed this, but I have the question. Can the legislature provide for homestead protection beyond what the Constitution provides?
I think reading into, you know, this the Constitution has been around for years, and they didn't weren't in a high tax society.
We know that, Council.
They weren't in a high tax society, and nobody you can't spell out everything in the Constitution, every potential thing.
Yeah, but it's amended 100 times as well.
Yeah,
certainly, if the legislature wanted this to apply, it would have been amended by now. Seems to me,
but this is such a apparently just a simple thing that all houses are exempt and all yachts or rowboats or houseboats that are in a marina should be exempt.
So your answer to my question is yes, the legislature can provide for greater homestead protection than the Constitution. The constitutional protection is just a floor.
I would agree that. I think that there's enough room in the wording to, and out, we contend that there's enough wording for you all to hold that a yacht, a houseboat, is exempt under the Texas homestead rules.
And the bankruptcy courts look to state law. It doesn't have to be state constitution.
That's correct.
Constitution doesn't define what a homestead is. It talks about limitations on the amount of land that may be included in an urban versus a rural homestead, but it doesn't define what a homestead is, does it?
You're correct. There's no guidelines. There's nothing you say.
In 1886, you cited the case of Cuellar versus James.
Yes.
That said that the home does not have to have an attachment to land. It
Yes.
can be personal chattel. And it still is protected by homestead, even if the owner of the home has no interest whatsoever in the land under it.
That's correct, and that's what the court held.
And that's, you think, supports your argument about the houseboat. You call it a houseboat. Opposing counsel calls it a yacht.
We think that is the underpinning of our contention, that case has been cited over 60 times, as best we can tell. It has never been overruled. We haven't found any case that's held that
when he weighs anchor, is it still a homestead?
Is what?
When he weighs anchor and heads out into the Gulf, is it still his homestead?
I would say that if it's temporary, he's gone for a week or so and comes back, that it would not vacate. If he's out there for 3 or 4 months or a year or whatever, I think that at some point that it would lose its homestead exemption. But in this case, he's been there for a number of years, and there's no question of his.
But we're not going to be able to draw that. How are we going to draw a line that says, well, a month is too long or 6 months is enough? I mean, we're going to have to say yachts are or aren't. So your position is he could be sailing around the Caribbean several weeks a year, as long as he comes back and stays for some substantial
that's
period
correct.
Of time, it's still his homestead.
That is his home, and he's living in it, and that's where he gets his mail, where he has his business contacts, and it's like any other. The only difference is that it's on a dock. If a week before he filed his bankruptcy petition, he picked that boat up and put it in dry dock, put it on the land, then there's no question. It would have been exempt. But he didn't do that because I suspect it's very expensive, and he felt that it shouldn't be required.
Does the record reflect whether he paid ad valorem taxes?
It's not in the pleadings. I have no knowledge. I'm sure the city of Corpus Christi or the marina attached either the ad valorem taxes comes out of the rental that he pays or it's paid direct. But I have no direct knowledge.
You've referenced Section 11.13 of the Property Tax Code, in which the legislature has determined that a resident's homestead is exempt from ad valorem taxes. That's a tax statute. Should we necessarily conclude that if the legislature has defined a homestead for taxation purposes, that is the same as excluding it, protecting it from creditors?
We hold it doesn't include yachts or houseboats, and it doesn't include it or exclude it. It just doesn't mention it. The Texas Property Code does not mention it.
But that wouldn't that the rules of statutory construction would work against you on that, wouldn't it?
That it would. Blackstone wrote that the most universal and effective way of discovering the true meaning of a law where the words are dubious is by considering the reason and spirit of it, or the cause which moved the legislator enacted. The court has repeatedly dealt with much liberality upon the human policy and design of this provision of our Constitution, and it is believed the same course of reasoning will protect our homestead in this case. This comes out of a case.
So the 1876 drafters wanted to make sure yacht owners didn't get tossed out of their homes when they put that in.
Absolutely. In fact, it was read. It is.
People live on yachts in 1876.
No. I don't think they did. They probably had canoes at the best. But again, it goes now. They couldn't have perceived every possible thing. And the real virtue of the thing is that it looks to what is your home. If you live in the boat, then that's your home and it's exempt. In that 1886 case. It held that a family owns a house and no interest in the estate or on the land on which it stands. The house is a chattel. If he occupies it with his family, it is their home. He may be compelled to move from it from one lot to another. But the case has been cited to grant homestead protection to a mobile trailer home and attached to leased land only by the law of gravity and fractional adhesion. The homestead exemption was founded upon the principles of the soundest policy cannot be questioned. Its design was not only to protect citizens and their families from the miseries and dangers of destitution, but also to cherish and support in the bosoms of individuals those feelings of sublime independence which are so essential to the maintenance of free institutions. These are noble objects, and such construction is consistent with the spirit of the provision should be given as would promote and secure the purposes intended. This is from a case cited by Mr. Thomas, and it's an 1857 case, even before the James case of 1886.
Counselor, those are all compelling arguments, and certainly the drafters of the Constitution couldn't contemplate everything, just like the drafters of the United States Constitution couldn't contemplate the world that we live in today. But it seems to me, just based on the history of our Texas Constitution, that the legislatures wanted to make a yacht a homestead, then it'd be so written, and it's just not there, and I'm having a problem following that logic there, because it's not there. We should extend it and broaden the statute to include that and perhaps anything imaginable.
My only answer to that is in the Texas Administrative Code, if you apply for food stamps, it specifically says houseboats are exempt. So if they meant it, if the legislature said that houseboats are exempt in determining whether you get food stamps or not, that's a legislative intent. And you can't have it one way and not the other way. If it's valid for you to get food stamps, then it's valid to be a homestead and exempt from creditors.
I'm not following your argument there. What does that statute have to do with this case?
Well, in the Texas Administrative Code, Rule 372.356, the homestead and surrounding real property, any structure, including a houseboat or a motorhome, that the household uses is excluded as long as it's being used as a residence. It's excluded from the exemption in obtaining food stamps. That is a legislative. It's a rule put out through the legislature. The rules are based on legislative intent, and therefore, if it's good enough for an exclusion for food stamps, then it's good enough for it to be a homestead. You can't have it both ways. It'd be not be a homestead, but yet would be excluded for food stamps.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I appreciate your time. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Counselor. The court is ready to hear argument from the appellee.
May it please the court. Mr. Johnny Thomas will present argument for the
appellee. May it please the court. On the facts outlined in the record, the court is forwarding a certified question from the U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Does a motorized waterborne vessel used as a primary residence and otherwise fulfilling all requirements of the homestead exemption except attachment to land qualify for the homestead exemption under Article 16, Sections 50 and 51 of the Texas Constitution? And I would argue the Constitution exception does not apply to a boat. And the tension, as outlined by the Fifth Circuit, seems to be the, on the one hand, the Texas Constitution, the property code, and other cases by this court and other courts referring to the homestead estate as an estate and land. On the other hand, the duty of the courts in Texas and the Fifth Circuit, the duty to construe the homestead exemption liberally, and due to the novelty of the question, is the reason it was forwarded to this court. Concerning Texas Constitution Article 16, Section 50, it does provide a homestead of a family or a single person should be protected before sale without any guidance being provided on what a homestead is. The only guidance provided is that in Section 51 that there, other than a, that limits a rural homestead to 200 acres, an urban homestead to 10 acres, and so forth. The earliest record of this Texas exemption was 1839, the statute of January 26, 1839, from the Republic of Texas, first session, third Congress. And a lot of the legislative history is outlined in Inman, as also Woods versus Alvarado, Inman versus Inman North Homeowners Association versus Harris. And as Judge Mosley stated in that case, the passage of the statute of January 26, 1839 was the direct result of the United States panic of 1837 and the economic depression that resulted from there. Throughout the nation, families lost homes and farms, and the Texas business became stagnant. Money was scarce and credit unavailable. And according to the commentators, Texans were already familiar with channel exemptions from the family clothing, furniture, tools of the trade, and so forth under the colonial law, as also the law of Mexico, from forced payments. And as the authors of the interpretive commentary of the Texas Constitution of 1876 wrote, it was no great step to extend the concept to land. But note that even in the 1800s, the concept was that the legislative intent was to treat homesteads and land different and specifically from homesteads and personal property.
Well, except for Cullors versus James. And that seemed to say that chattels can be homesteads.
That's correct. And I was addressing the legislative intent. The legislature has never gone that far. But in speaking to Cullors versus James, I would note that the court was talking about a house. And they didn't talk about a covered wagon or anything mobile. A house they talked about moving, we'd have to assume it would be through dismantling it and moving it to a different lot. But in any case, it's attached to the land. It's just like any other house. And then I think the court
the difference is that more than just a house, the case talks about it in terms of a home.
That's correct.
The family considered it their home, not just a house. And we know that the legislature, because we've spoken about it a moment ago, protects houseboats because of the statute that references that, protects them for food stamp purposes. Do you think a houseboat can be a homestead? If somebody thinks of that as their home,
I think
for their
it could
family?
Be a home, yes, sir. But the legislature, to me, has considered that. And they've limited to a DHS determination for food stamps. They will look at that.
So in some circumstances, a houseboat can be a home for homestead, well, for exemption purposes.
In different circumstances.
So it can be a home if it benefits a state and not a home if it benefits someone who wants to call his castle a boat?
No, I think the issue is, what is the legislature trying to address? Are they trying to address the issue of homelessness with this homestead statute and Article
9? Obviously not, because they've exempted million-dollar homes for decades and decades.
That's correct.
So it's, while they perhaps were motivated about protecting poor people, in fact, they have always protected very rich people.
Well, I think all have been included, and it's been very extensive, and it has from the very beginning, from 1839 until the present, it's been very extensive. And as you mentioned earlier, it's something that bothers a lot of other states, as this ends up being a haven for people who just want to seek that exemption. And so then for the court to take another step and extend it to chattel, movable chattel, on the water, on the land, whatever, I think would be a great step that I believe the legislature has already considered, and they've limited it to land. I think that was a very good reason to limit
it.
They didn't talk about wagons.
When we going back to Culler versus James, the way I read the language there, it says if the head of a house family owns a house and no interest or estate in the land, the house is a chattel.
That's correct.
So this court in 1869 or 1886 said it's a chattel. If he occupies it with his family, it's a home. So we have a chattel that's a home. May be compelled to move it from one lot to another as fast as legal process can oust him. Still, though ambulatory, which is unsatisfactory to some of us, so we have a chattel that's a home that the court's language says is ambulatory and says it's a homestead. How do we differentiate that language in your case? You have a chattel that's a home, moves from place to place, no interest in land. How do we differentiate your case from this without just saying in 1886 and all the years since we were wrong?
Judge, I think the language is rather broad in Culler v. James, but I think it still gets to the same point, that what they were talking about was a house. It was a fixture, and
they're talking about a home. They said the house is the home. Now, we've gone past the fact that it's a house.
Right,
a home is what we talked about. Now, we developed that.
It is a home. And
chattel, ambulatory, move from place to place. It's a home.
Well,
how's that different from what your situation is?
I think in that case they were talking about a home. The structure was a building, and it was attached to the land, but he didn't own the land. Therefore, it was, as I understood the court, they presumed it to be chattel, and that it wasn't built for the benefit of the owner of the land. In that sense, then, it's chattel, and it's ambulatory to the extent any house can be moved. If it wasn't attached to the land, it can be removed without damaging the land. Then it's just like any other house. Houses can be moved, and apparently those were houses that could be taken down and boarded into a wagon of some type and moved down the street.
Thomas.
But I don't think that deals with the mobility of the house, that you can put on wheels or put on water and take off. For
Thomas, what if there's a prolonged drought? A boat becomes dry docked.
Yes.
At that point, does a man's cabin cruiser or yacht or houseboat become his castle?
I don't think so for this reason. I think we get into the question of how long does it have to be on the dry land? How long does it have to be out to sea? 186 days out of the year? 360 days a year? At what point? What is the court opening itself up to? If it's dry for 3 months, does it make it a homestead for 3 months? I think those are the sort of questions that make it too ambiguous to really enforce, and certainly it ought to be something that the legislature ought to look at.
What do you think of Mr. Blumberg's kind of umbilical cord argument about how the boat is physically attached, tethered to the land, docked, affixed, getting water, getting sewer, getting phone service from dry land?
I see the case law, especially capital aggregates, as looking for some sort of permanent attachment, where you're going to be there or you're not. And they've not addressed wagons and so forth, but they want some sort of permanent attachments. Even when they talked in 1969 in capital aggregates about the trailers, They talked about cement blocks and so forth, which is attached just as much as any other house, whether it's on cement post or cement blocks and so forth. So that is how they quoted colors and things, and that's how they read it, that you were talking about something permanent as opposed to something mobile.
So if somebody decides to build a house on some land that they're leasing, they don't own the land, and they build a house that looks exactly like a 68-foot Chris Craft, homestead or not?
If it's on cinder blocks, I think according to capital aggregates and so forth, I think that'd be a homestead.
And if they pick that up, they pick that house up and put it in the water and tied it up, would it still be a homestead, or would it lose homestead character even though it once had that?
I would think it would lose its homestead character due to that, because then it's become mobile. But boats on land, and he mentioned a silo and so forth, attached to land and so forth.
Well, it's okay to become mobile. According to colors, you can move it from track to track.
And I think if you move it from track to track, then you take that homestead with you. But it doesn't say water. It's not, the statute's not defined in terms of water or mobility.
So you're saying before the floodwaters, Noah's Ark was a homestead on dry land. But when the floodwaters came, it became mobile, drifted away, and lost that character?
You're not going to deny Noah his homestead.
It's number two.
Oh, it's animals.
Yeah, he did build it as a boat in anticipation of the water. It would be on land, and it would be a homestead. And I think that might be a little bit different because that certainly wasn't his intention. That was somebody else's intention. But if you're planning on the mobility and you want to just sit on land for a while and then go out to sea and come back and forth, I just don't understand how the court or the legislature could write a law to keep up with that.
Mr. Thomas, do you believe this legal issue could be decided under the Constitution or under statutes?
I do not. I think it is something that has historically been handled by the legislature. There are just so many issues that come up. You know, where do you limit it? How long do you have to be at dock? How long? I think the facts will show that on the record, if you read Judge Javier Rodriguez's opinion in the Fifth Circuit, it states that he cruised extensively in the Gulf. So how long does he have to be connected to this land?
If he dry docked it every night, if he pulled it up on the trailer onto the land, would you say homestead or not?
It's the mobility question, because then,
Let me ask you that then. You would disagree with opposing counsel's representation that RVs are homesteads. Have there been cases that have determined RVs are homesteads?
I don't recall saying that, Justice. I know he mentioned that.
And mobile homes, you'd say, are maybe. You'd say mobile homes are if they're permanently attached or fixed to the land.
Either on the cedar post and so forth. And as one justice mentioned, it's easy to assume the wheels could be put right back on and be moved to another piece of land to rent. If it's on cedar post and concrete, it does qualify as sufficient attachment.
You talked about mobility, and that certainly seems to be a significant part of your argument. What if Howard Hughes was still alive and he decided to live in a spruce goose, which doesn't fly anymore, and it's permanently moored to someplace in Long Beach, California? What would that be? It was moored here to South Padre Island, Texas.
Right. I think that's what you open the door to, Justice. If you allow a yacht on the water, then most certainly people who have kitchens and beds on airplanes can pull up on the tarmac on the airport and plug it in for utilities and call that homestead. You know, is this an area the court wants to get into? Is this something the legislature wants to get into? And the legislature has not wanted to get into this question, and the court either has not wanted to get into these sorts of issues for the last, since 1839.
Well, the Constitution does not mention protection as a homestead, a mobile home. A statute does. So the statutes are broader than the constitutional provision at issue, aren't they?
I don't think so. I would disagree with Mr. Blumberg on that point. I think, as I stated earlier,
and the Constitution only specifically references land.
That's correct.
I agree with you, as you said, and your opposing counsel, that the Constitution does not define homestead, but it only references land. The legislature has said in 11.13J that a homestead includes a mobile home. That's broader than the constitutional language, isn't it?
That is. Well, except for the first paragraph, J says, for purposes of this statute only, or this section only. In other words, for purposes of determining taxes, they will look at a mobile home. But that begs the question. If they talked about boats with DHS and they talked about trailers with the tax code, why didn't they move it over to the property code?
Well, let's look at the rest of subsection 1. It says, residence homestead means a structure, including a mobile home, that is owned by one or more individuals, designed for human or adapted for human residence, used as a residence, and occupied as his principal residence by an owner. Which of those requirements is not satisfied by the houseboat? Mobile home is just listed as an example. It doesn't say list the structures that are protected.
Exactly.
Mobile home is an
example. You can look at all structures under that tax code.
So which of these requirements is not satisfied by the houseboat? Owned by one or more individuals, designed or adapted for human residence, used as a residence, and occupied as his principal residence by an owner. Where does the houseboat fail?
I think the houseboat qualifies for the tax rulings that is qualified under that particular statute, 11.13. I believe the houseboat would comply with that tax statute. And so in making determinations under that section, for tax code purposes, I think the houseboat qualifies.
So in answering my question to your opposing counsel, you would say taxation treatment may be different from homestead treatment.
I believe that is true, and I don't see any problem with that. I think when you're talking about taxes and how you tax, you know, we tax cars and they move all over the place. But when you talk about exemption from your debts and for sales and so forth, I think the issue of mobility has been something the legislature has specifically decided not to get involved in.
Where has the legislature defined homestead? They talk about what it includes in 41.001 of the property code and 41.002. Where have they defined it?
I think it's the legislature, and I think they're correct, is they look at Article 16, Sections 50 and 51. That is the law of the land, and it seems like what they did was just take the Constitution and put it in statutory form. I guess they defined city limits and so forth, and 10 acres for in the city and so forth, and so they did add specific definition to those, but they've not chosen to expand it other than what the Constitution was.
Would you agree that saying that a rural versus an urban homestead is limited to X amount of land is not necessarily a definition, but limitations on how broadly a homestead can extend? And I don't see a definition of homestead in the Constitution or the statutes that you all have cited.
I think, as Mr. Blumberg stated, it was written broadly in such a way that it's left, it is still land-based is what they were concerned about. I think that's what the legislature was mainly concerned about. It's land-based. And when you look at a home, and a residence, and the courts are pretty much going from there, using as a basis what the structure is or whether or not it's land-based.
If the purpose of the constitutional provision is to prevent homelessness, why do we care what it is the family lives in?
I think we care as I read the legislative intent, we care because we're protecting homesteads attached to land. I think so. That's the difference between Florida, Illinois, Alabama, and all these statutes. The Texas statute talks about the homestead right being an interest in land, and a lot of courts have read this as, in fact, an estate in land compared to a life tenancy and so forth. And I think that's the difference.
Well, I understand the argument you're making, but if the purpose is to prevent homelessness, that argument doesn't really advance that purpose. But it partially does, but I mean, why do we care what someone lives in if we don't want them to be without a home?
I don't think we care. I think that the legislature has made a decision that should be limited to it, that should be a land-based decision.
And if they're in a yacht, they can get away from their creditors in a way that somebody attached to land cannot.
Well, that's true. And I think the idea of creating stability is not just a state concern, it's a federal concern and so forth. I mean, one of the biggest tax deductions we have is still in our homestead. So there's a federal interest, a state interest in stability within the countryside and having a home within the countryside. I don't know if they even thought about a yacht or a boat.
Let me just, one final question. State, nationwide, do you know how many states allow boats as homesteads and how many don't? I understand the constitutional language is different, statutes are different, but do you know about what the breakdown is?
I've seen cases out of three states, Illinois, Alabama. And Florida seems to go back and forth. There's something peculiar to that statute.
Well, Florida seems to say if the boat is intended to be lived in as a houseboat, it is, and if it's not, if it's just recreational, it's not. That looks to the character of the boat.
Right.
But just across the country, do you have any idea about how boats come down?
Again, Justice, I've only seen three cases. And in Florida, I know in Judge Rodriguez's opinion or order, he cites a Florida opinion that talks about that mobility issue. Mobility seems to be what Florida turns on also.
Counsel, mobility seems central to your view of what's a homestead and what's not. For purposes of constitutional analysis, where does mobility fit in? Why is mobility material to the consideration? Practically, it may impact whether you can find the person or how easy it is to find the person. But for purposes of constitutional analysis, why is mobility important to what a homestead is? Certainly the word's not in the Constitution.
It's not. I just think that when you look at what the legislature from 1839 to the present, when they talk about the homestead, they talk about an interest in land. The courts have always, most Texas courts have interpreted that as an interest or an estate in land, whether that be
This court in 1886 said that was not necessary. The courts you're referring to are courts of appeals.
I believe in Inman. I believe that's correct, Judge. And cert or review was not accepted in any of those cases, and they've been the law of the land. But I believe in Inman, the court talks about an estate in land, as well as Woods versus Alvarado. I believe those two cases talk about an estate in land also. And even Cullors versus James, in the paragraph that Mr. Blumberg is reading, starts out by saying the statute is a land-based statute. And again, going back to Cullors, I think that the main difference, the main distinction in Cullen versus James is that they are talking about a house and not something that roams around the country or roams across the ocean.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Concludes the argument and concludes all arguments for the day. And the marshal will now adjourn the court.
All rise. Oyez, oyez, oyez.